WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Annie Potts made her movie career out of quirky roles. She was the scatterbrained receptionist in Ghostbusters. In Pretty in Pink, she played an aging punk record store owner. Annie Potts has smoothed out some of her rough edges in her current role. Now she can be seen every Monday night on the CBS sitcom Designing Women, where she works in an interior design firm with three other women. According to Annie Potts, Designing Women was created by its writer, Linda Bloodworth, in a backward fashion. Instead of coming up with the plot first, Bloodworth first came up with the cast.
So she went to the network with our four names and said, please let me write a show for these four women. I have these four women. I can't tell you what they would do. I can just give me the opportunity to put these four women in the room together and talk. And the idea was sold on that.
Since Designing Women is set in Georgia, you have to speak with a Southern accent on the series. Now, you're actually from Kentucky, right?
Yes.
And probably you've spent most of your acting career trying to get rid of a Southern accent.
Oh, how right you are. But isn't karma a funny thing, you know?
Well, did you have to kind of fake it to get it back again for the series?
Not really. It is oh so easy for me to slip right into it again, you know what I mean?
Well, hi, Mary Jo. Thought you were going to be off today.
Oh, well, JD and the kids are using the indoor pool, and I just didn't feel like it. I thought I might as well come in and get some work done.
Mary Jo, this is your big weekend.
Oh, yeah, well, actually, it's not quite as much fun as we thought.
The kids don't like it?
No, actually, they hate it. Claudia and Hannah are too far apart in years, and Bert and Quinn are both used to being the baby and not sharing the spotlight, and there's really no explanation for why Claudia and Rex don't get along except that they're teenagers and probably should be in military school. So, Anthony, who was that with you last night, Genghis Khan?
I think that your character on Designing Women is really more mainstream in a way than most of the characters you've played in movies. Most of your movie characters are pretty eccentric.
Yes.
Do you like playing a more mainstream character? Do you think that's bringing out a different side of your acting?
They're all eccentric to me. I think, you know, even mainstream people are incredibly eccentric, depending upon your point of view, you know. I think any time that you're getting into the skin of a character or pondering the behavior of, you know, whatever kind of person it is, that they're just, the thing that makes them interesting is their eccentricities. I'm sort of an eccentric person anyway, so my perspective is always just a little to the left of center. You know, it's always kind of like, what's wrong with this picture?
In Ghostbusters, you played the ditzy receptionist. How did you get that part?
I went in and read for it. The roles I usually get, they, like, we never thought of anyone like you for this, but gee, you're quirky. So I just went in and read on it.
When you read for the part, did you have to read any of the parts where you answer the telephone Ghostbusters?
I did.
That's really become like a trademark of the movie.
I know, this is probably going to be on my tombstone. Ghostbusters, what do you want? Funny how that happens.
In Pretty in Pink, which starred Molly Ringwald, you played a punk record store manager. Pauline Kael, when she reviewed the movie, said that you may be the finest unsung comedian in the business. I thought, you know, that was an interesting perception on her part, first to really single you out, and second to call you unsung. And I think as the comic sidekick, which was kind of your role in that, that so frequently is the unsung role.
God bless Pauline. She's been awfully kind to me over the years. And God knows, I loved hearing that from her particularly. Yes, I had the Ghostbuster role and the Pretty in Pink role, and there's one other that I included in this category, was part of a phase of my work that I call the Thelma Ritter roles, you know? Like the woman who used to always stand beside Doris Day and go, you love him, honey, you go get him. I love Thelma Ritter. I mean, you know, hey, she's fabulous. But, yeah, I mean, they're fun to do. I love to work. I find everything interesting. Molly Ringwald is an extraordinary little actress, and I was so happy to work with her and do that with her.
Well, you know, in a role like that, it really seems to be the kind of role that isn't probably anything special on the page, you know, on the script, but there's a lot of latitude for you to make it an interesting role, to kind of interpret the character and put some spin on it, to make it basically mm-hmm. the person you want it to be.
Yeah, give it a little English. Yeah.
Did you say that you went to your prom?
Yeah, sure.
Was it terrible?
It was the worst. But it's supposed to be, you know? I mean, but you have to go, right?
Well, you don't have to. I mean, it's not a requirement.
I have this girlfriend who didn't go to hers, and every once in a while she gets this really terrible feeling, you know, like something is missing. She checks her purse in her, she checks her keys, she counts her kids, she goes crazy, and then she realizes that nothing is missing. She decided it was side effects from skipping the prom.
What I remember scratching in the margin of my script at one point, that I thought the whole point of that character was to... You know, we pass so many people on the street and we go, oh, they're scary. I don't want to know them. But when, on the face of her, I saw her as a person that people would back away from and go, why, she's crazy. But then when you got to know her, you would find what a gentle heart and how really sort of, you know, sweet and bright she was.
How did you end up playing comedy? You were classically trained. I don't know mm-hmm. if you did many comedies when you were coming of age, but did you mm-hmm. just, like, naturally gravitate to that?
Mm-hmm. I came from a very funny family. I mean, everybody in my family was fall-down funny. And I don't think that's just from my perspective. They're a very lively bunch. My mother was funny, my father was funny, and my two sisters were hilarious. We're Southern, too, you know, and there's a long line of oral tradition, storytelling in the South, and from a very young age, we were expected to learn our stories, and most of the ones that we were to learn were amusing, and we were expected to tell them in front of company, and you just had to deliver the punchline correctly, or it would be grabbed from you by another family member, and you would be scolded that you hadn't told the story correctly.
Before you started your career, you were in a car crash, and
yes.
From what I've read about it, just about all of your bones from the waist down were broken.
Mm-hmm.
When you were lying in the hospital bed, had you basically written off acting, thinking that that would be an impossible goal after this accident?
Well, no, because I was very young, you know, and I couldn't imagine that it. You know, in my lowest moments, of course, I would go, well, this is it. You know, I'm not going to be able to manage. But I'm a very optimistic person by nature, and I had some very kind doctors who said, hey, don't worry, a couple of years you'll be good as new. I never have been as good as new, but then are any of us.
Are you going to stay with comedy? Would you like to try a dramatic role?
Well, I have done dramatic roles as well, although those roles haven't been as visible. I did a film called Crimes of Passion that Ken Russell directed that was quite a serious piece. And I did a film called Heartaches with Margot Kidder that was a serious role for me. So, like I said, it'll be on my tombstone. Ghostbusters, what do you want? I have all along been doing this other work, though.
Okay, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, thank you, Terry. It was a pleasure.
Annie Potts' latest film is called Pass the Ammo. She spoke to us from the NPR Bureau in Los Angeles. This is Fresh Air.